Welcome to The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. Brought to you by the Chicago Wolves.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Ready for the power play?
You're listening to The Hockey Show
on ESPN Chicago.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome in to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We're sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. Chief, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the tournament. Great time of the year. Just throwing bets out left and right, hoping something hits, since I'm a hockey guy, as everybody knows, not a basketball guy, but it's been going all right. I'm having a fun time.
Quick question on that. Do you find yourself, because of legalized gambling, less focused on the bracket and more about gambling on, per se, each game?
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. So I filled out the bracket Thursday morning. We have like a little office one, and then I do one with my family. I did it in like 30 seconds. Okay. I know I had Houston to win, but I couldn't tell you who else was in my Final Four. It's just like, I might have had Arizona. Don't care. So I just kind of pick games, and there's a few people that in the company that know what they're doing gambling wise. So I kind of tail them a little bit, and then it's just gut. You're throwing darts, and as of this moment, I'm plus money. Can't ask for anything more than that.
I take it.
Always gambling responsibly, though.
Absolutely.
Of course.
If you were gambling on the Chicago Blackhawks over the last week and a half, I would have lost my shirt,
mm-hmm.
my pants,
yep.
maybe the house.
Maybe the number one pick.
And maybe the top three picks.
Yeah.
They might be playing themselves out of that.
I've been doing Tankathon every morning.
I saw you yesterday. You hit.
I did hit.
Which I rarely go north.
Mm-hmm.
You went from 3-1, right?
It was from 3-1. Now they're currently sitting in fourth.
Four.
I hit it today, went to sixth.
Oh.
So
Detroit went up nine spots, which
they're trying to give me mental health issues.
Stop doing it.
It was Detroit and then St. Louis, and I'm like,
Could you imagine?
I might just have to quit hockey.
Could you imagine?
I can't. That
Bedard going to Detroit.
It's like, what did I do to deserve this?
What did I do to deserve this?
So between the Hawks being terrible, the trading Kane, if they don't get like that next guy, we're headed to purgatory where you're just good enough to not be good enough.
In the last week and a half, they blanked Ottawa 5-0 when Ottawa is on an absolute heater mm-hmm. and needing victories.
They're
to
in
stay,
the chase.
Now they're out. Boston, the wagon came to town. All right, I'm up for some of these first place teams coming in and saying, hey, of all the 82, I'm taking a look at the whiteboard in the dressing room, and I'm saying to myself, Robinson, this, that.
Yeah.
We'll take tonight off, and we'll just kick it into gear in the third, and we'll see how things play out.
I think that's
happening
big time
a few times.
Yep.
The Nashville thing. Now, again, they were sellers mm-hmm. at the deadline mostly.
Yeah.
They're in the discussion, but I don't feel they're in the discussion.
They're not. I feel like they're too pot committed to their big guys to really fully tear it down with Duchesne. And so they can't, and those guys don't have trade value. So it's like, let's strip away the pieces, Tanner Jeannot, et cetera. And then try to rebuild around the core that we already know isn't good enough. I don't know what their ceiling is, what their plan is, but it's like, that market, I feel like if you're just in the playoffs, they love it. They show up. They're very passionate. I feel like that's probably what their goal is long term. Like, hey, it didn't work out with this group. Let's recycle it. Try to.
And look, the haul they got for Jeannot is a great way to jumpstart your
not
your
too dissimilar
pool.
From the Hagel thing. So, So they got quite a bit for Tanner Jeannot, who's a nice player, but they have no use for him, obviously, here. And he made a lot of sense for Tampa Bay because they're running for it. It's those the Hawks in Nashville, and that's kind of the fear. If you don't get one of these, top two guys, then you get that next tier guy. Like Ryan Johansson's a very good player. Matt Duchesne's a very good player. They're good enough to get you right to that first round of the playoffs many times. And that's the last place, in my opinion, you want to be if you're doing a rebuild. If you're trying to hold on, that was always my point with I think people never understood why I was a fan of the Seth Jones trade. I wanted Seth Jones to springboard that group because they needed a top defenseman to get him in the mix. Like mm-hmm. We knew the Taves and Kane era was coming to an end. I wanted some playoff hockey. I had no aspirations of Seth Jones taking this team to the Stanley Cup. But I thought that was, hey, like, I'm fine with that. I would have had fun, and then we'll rebuild when it's time to rebuild. It's not where you want to be if you're the Predators, for sure.
So, and we've kind of gone over this on the hockey show, but just to kind of talk about the draft, which, by the way, the lottery is May 8th.
Yeah.
Monday, May 8th. I think it's 6 o'clock our time. So
I'm sure that I will be on camera on the internet for that one, ready to get my heart ripped out.
In a straitjacket.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll
tissues ready, the whole thing.
I'll be by your side just to make sure that. You know, you don't hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid a team like St. Louis or Detroit or somebody comes out
I can't even think about it. I will absolutely lose it. Yeah.
So, you know, if you end up with the worst win percentage in the National Hockey League, you've got a 1-4 chance mm-hmm. of getting Connor Bedard. If you end up with the worst winning percentage, the worst you will pick in the draft is third.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've all long been like, finish one or two. I wouldn't want two either because I could drop to four and then maybe that's Mitch Goff.
Yeah.
I don't know. But now they're starting to flirt with not being in that conversation.
They could pick seventh.
Yeah, I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I'm really having a hard time. You got Columbus in the Connor Bedard pole position right mm-hmm. now, followed by San Jose.
Losers of five straight.
Anaheim.
Lost two in a row.
The Blackhawks. You got Montreal, and then Philly's fading big time. So they've crept into the conversation.
Yep. Philly's lost four in a row.
So it's kind of like a 4-5 team race to the finish.
Yeah.
Here's the way I see, because I'm trying to figure out why this is happening. It tells me a couple of things. Hockey ops is identifying the right player. Hungry guys, mm-hmm. hard to play against, strong work ethic.
Pros. Yeah.
And I think in the case of like Nashville the other night, you know, I always wonder like a team fighting for a playoff spot or 22 guys fighting for their NHL lives. I think you're seeing 22 guys in Hawks jerseys mm-hmm. fighting for their Chief, there's only two guys with more than 2 years of term on their deal with the Blackhawks, Seth and Connor Murphy. Everybody else, 1 and 2 years.
Yeah.
That is it. And they're all guys that are tweeners, haven't established themselves as NHL. Nah, some guys mm-hmm. are exception to the rule. But by and large, this is not a bunch of misfits, but a bunch of guys that are trying to hold on to their NHL job.
Yeah, and they're trying to hold on to it for the Blackhawks, certainly. They're also auditioning for 31 other teams.
Yes.
And because teams are always looking for fourth liners, and nobody's got more of them than the Chicago Blackhawks. So they're all working, and it's like you know, I've never been a huge fan of numbering or labeling lines, but that so-called fourth line, they've been incredible, and they got the second most ice time of any group in the last game against Nashville because they're just humming along, playing hard. Boris Kachuk's showing a little bit of offensive flair. The goal he had against Boston was spectacular, and you kind of know what you're going to get from these guys, and they're going to work. And then they're also getting some puck luck. That Lucas Reichel's quote unquote goal, Lucas Reichel, had no business going
in. I mean, it was nice. Athanasiou uses his speed to poke mm-hmm. the puck to Reichel. Reichel's trying to get it back to him. Goes off the defenseman's stick.
Yep.
He plows into Saros, and the next thing
it's
in the back
much.
Of the neck. And Lucas has his third goal.
And they win a one-goal game.
So,
and it's like an on and on the road.
Yeah.
So, and on it goes. So, they're not doing... You know, it's always been kind of like the joke, you know, among the fans is that, you know, it's the tank season. You better start losing, root for losses and all that. But at the end of the day, these guys are adult professionals, and they're not going to be like, I'm tanking, so they, the organization who is, doesn't care about me, can get Connor Bedard? No.
No.
I'm going to play my, you know, play my butt off.
Luke said it from jump. He said, I'm going to make this difficult for Kyle Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done that.
Yeah.
And continues to do that.
I was hoping he was lying.
I thought so too. I mean, like, he, in a perfect world, I want to see a few things on the ice in a game that I say, oh, you know, I like that. That could, that, that might work when they're good. And mm-hmm. I could see that. And he's developing. And, you know, interesting storylines emerge, close game, competitive, but in the end, the opposition wins.
Yep.
And the draft lottery odds improve.
Right.
That's kind of where I'm at.
You create a culture where you're fighting tooth and nail to lose every game by one.
Kind of, not unlike, like, see, I looked at the Bears' three wins this past year. Like, there were four games that hung in the balance. And,
totally.
And on a given year, you win all four of those, like Minnesota did, winning all those
absolutely
one-score games.
The Bears were the best 3-14 team I have ever seen.
Ever.
Yeah.
And
exciting.
You know, and like a muff punt or this or that, you'd be like, okay, well, that cost them that game. I can say when they're good, that guy won't be on the team.
Right.
And you won't be doing that.
All you cared about was the development of Justin Fields and, you know, picking out a few other guys to you know, you bounce off the bottom of the pool is the, you know, the expression.
Right.
You have to sink all the way down, and now look at them. If you're going to say, like, which team am I most optimistic about in this city, it is the Bears by a mile. And it's because they it's hard to say that they tanked because, like you said, they were very competitive every game, and then they just
and then the Lovey thing is, like, that's inexplicable.
Build him a statue.
Yeah. I mean, we love statues in this town. I'm sure it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because in essence, you look at Houston pulling that game out and going for two gives them the number one pick and allows them to get all this draft equity.
Yep.
And we'll see if Ryan Poles can continue to spin that even into more. But I digress. The point is the Hawks are kind of playing themselves out of being in that discussion. I mean, look, they could finish second or third and move up just like you did on Tankathon. And we all hope that. But there is also some signs that what has happened over the last month is not sustainable. So we talk about team save percentage. Since February 17th, so roughly a month, they have the fifth best save percentage in the league. 5-on-5, 930.
Yeah, I mean, shut down Alex Daylock.
You know, you joked, you texted me that the other night, and I said, I thought about it.
Yeah.
But you would be vilified in the room. Like, it would be just absolutely double birding every guy that puts on that sweater.
Yeah.
If you say, yeah, Anton Khudobin's going to play for the next 2 weeks.
Bring in Scott Foster for all I care. I mean, like, this is, you can't play this. You can't be doing this. You got rid of all these guys for the intention of being terrible. And you're right. It's like rude to the guys in the room. Okay. That's like,
and they've already been, let's be honest, they've been through a lot.
They have, but they're getting paid. And their job is to show up, and like you said, all those guys are gone. Okay, so 1- and 2-year deals. So you bring in Reichel, Jones, maybe Murphy, and be like, "Hey, look it. Here's the situation. I know you guys are smart boys. We can't keep winning. So we're gonna have to. We want you guys to play and have good habits and be leaders and all that. But we're gonna have to be like the old the major league where we're gonna travel by bus." We're going to, you know, turn off the AC. You can't skate sharpen your skates the rest
of
the year.
Guys, we're heading to Nashville.
If you're a right shot, you got to play with the left stick. If you're a left stick, you got to play with the right shot. And that's how you got to do it the rest of the way.
All right. We're going to break down the incredible fourth line that's kind of getting second line minutes now of Anderson, Kachuk, and Kara. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got the one and only Eddie Olczyk. A lot to get to. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
The Hockey Show. Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We are sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves are looking to stay red hot in their green St. Paddy's Day themed jerseys tonight and tomorrow at Allstate. Bring the entire family to the back-to-back Wolves games against the Manitoba Moose tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow is Family Sunday. That's at 3 o'clock. In addition to the Chicago Wolves going green with their St. Patrick's Day themed jerseys at both games. First 2,000 fans at Saturday night's game, that's tonight, will get a free Mackenzie McEachern bobblehead. We are the Wolves. All right. You saw that story John Dietz put out yesterday. I mean, if we've talked about Jonathan Toews in all likelihood playing his, possibly playing his last game for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Look, Chief, he's been out since January 28th. We've got a month to go in the season. They're on a long road trip. He's not with them. By all accounts, he's been working out off ice, hasn't even been on ice with the team. Let's say he magically appeared on the ice. I still think he's a week or so out from that. We're running out of runway here for number 19 to return this season. So to say he's seriously considering retirement, yeah.
Yeah. It breaks my heart, you know, and he's one of my all-time favorite players, one of the all-time great Blackhawks. Obviously, they make everybody get off the bus at some day. So, you know, you might be 17 if you get told you're not good anymore. You might be 35. But this is not how a guy like Jonathan Toews, it's not how you want to see him go out. So I hope he does make a miraculous recovery and at least gets to suit up with that C on his chest for one last home game so we can give him a proper goodbye. I hope that that's in the cards for him, that his health will allow that, because it's sad the way that this is coming to a close.
You know, it really is. And, you know, you thought he had been dealt the real difficult card a couple years ago when he sat out the entire season and there was so much speculation of what it was. And you know, when he came back, they basically said it was chronic immune response syndrome. Which can be kind of a variety of different things that lead up to that. Also, long COVID. Now, it's our understanding that even though he got off to that great start this year, that he probably was dealing with some of those symptoms throughout this season, and it was difficult for him to, you know, find that energy. I know he would take maintenance days more than normal at Fifth Third Arena.
Yep.
But as a guy gets into their 30s, you know, that's more commonplace. I just wish, you know, Sharpie got a nice send off when he came back with his swan song with the Blackhawks, and the Pearl Jam was playing, and, you know, kind of got to enjoy it. I think Patrick Kane, hopefully someday, crossing fingers, that he will finish his career as a Blackhawk. But if he didn't, I feel like those three or four or five games that he last played before he went to the Rangers were a pretty damn cool send-off.
I was at all of them. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how, if you're going to go out with a buzzer beater. I've also erased the memory that goal didn't count.
Yeah, always going to count,
yeah,
right?
It counted.
It makes his highlight reel. It'll be the one goal 100%. That didn't count that will make the highlight reel.
And that's how you want to say goodbye. It's like your old dog, you know, like you don't want to have your dog just, you know, it breaks your heart to see him all tired with the hips going and all that. And you want Jonathan Toews to be healthy and happy and live this long, fulfilling life. And I really do want him to, I hope he gets one more game, but it does, all indications, it seems like this is the end of the road for him. And he hasn't looked like himself for a long time. So
no.
It's sad. And it's, you know, you talk to guys like Quenville, and it's like, he's the most competitive guy we ever had. You know, the captaincy, he'll have a tremendous legacy here. And, you know, it's over a little bit too soon for my liking.
I don't know if you saw the belt ceremony after the game against the Bruins, but he's in the background there. So I thought that was cool that, you know, he is still a part of the team. But I got to give the guys in that room, I mean, they rip away Max Domi, Patrick Kane, Jack Johnson, Sam Lafferty, and Jake McCabe. Five starters.
Yep.
Three or four of them are in the discussion of being leadership people. And they somehow rebooted.
Yeah.
And, like, it's almost like I was like, when they came back from that West Coast trip after Kane left, I was like, and that Ottawa game, I'm like, they're going to get steamrolled. Yeah. I'm like,
I bet Ottawa.
I was like, yeah. I was thinking, I'm like, they've just seen nameplates ripped off stalls for the last, you know, handful of days.
And guys that you leaned on.
And kind of feeling like we're just kind of a widget, you know, they're just, you know, we're expendable.
Yeah.
And
which they are.
Seemed to be, you know, the message that was being sent and received. But damn, if they didn't say, you know what? Yeah, we're all playing for our NHL lives. You've taken away a Hall of Famer. You've taken away four other starters.
Mm-hmm.
We were bad with those five.
Right.
We're going to show you.
Right.
And what have they done? They've shown us.
Yep.
So
yeah, I mean, you have to, like, tip your cap to them. And this is one of those things where it's like, I am hesitant to, like, lean too much into the tank talk because I just feel like it is at some level disrespectful because those guys show up, they do their job every day. This is they're living out their lifelong dream. And for us to, like, snicker at them, it always feels to me like a little bit of a cheap shot to people who don't deserve it, even if that is the reason that they're here. So I don't personally like to do that too much. And you hope that they just, you know, and I like to see guys play hard, and they play hard, and you hope that at the end of the day they can, you know, they hold their heads high and then they still get that number one pick. That's
so
what you want.
I saw that Cranes put out the picture this week of Patty Kane's house that he bought on the North Shore.
Looks beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think it's
Mediterranean style. Yeah, it looked great. Spent a lot of money renovating it, too, I heard.
I've got a bit of an issue of putting celebrities' place of residence out there, but I'll try to leave that to the side. He purchased this house and has been renovating it, and it's been over 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it was after his good friend Alex DeBrincat was dealt. It was when he knew the full direction that the rebuild was going. He knew where he was health-wise. He knew where he was at contractually.
Mm-hmm.
And he still decided to put some roots down.
Yeah.
And that has always told me that there's a plan to come back here.
Or a plan to never leave in the first place.
I know. That's where you took it.
Yeah.
That's where you took it.
I don't think you do that because you can always buy a house. So unless you're trying to do that immediately because you're planning on living there for 6 to 9 months minimum out of the year, probably 12 because he spends his summers here now for the most part. You don't do that unless you're planning on living there immediately and for a while. So there's no rush to buy a house. You can do that in 2 or 3 years. Wait till the interest rates go down, like everybody else. Okay, so I think that
we'll
was
send him to Hartford.
Yeah. So that's to me, it was just like he never really wanted to go. He wanted to be here. He was planning, like you said, putting down roots here, and then he got told that he was no longer welcome. So,
yeah, I think it's a little strong. I see how you're connecting the dots, but that's a very chiefian-like way of connecting the dots.
I don't know anything for sure, but, you know, that was bought through a land trust, and, you know, so his name wasn't on it, and all of a sudden, a couple weeks after he's gone, now that story leaks.
Yeah, well, look, and I've found that
odd timing, too.
I've known about this basically since...
So have I.
And... It was eventually going to come out. As I have traveled around in the last month, people in various places have come up to me and said, oh, by the way, and I'll just like, okay.
I'm doing the landscape.
Yeah. You know, so I get where you're coming. Interesting timing just after he leaves. And you thought maybe...
Sniffing something.
You felt it was the Kane camp putting that out there.
I think it's possible.
I don't think you go to the lengths that they did through the trust and all those things.
Unless you wanted to stick it to somebody. Which, that is... I love spite. I love spite, and that to me, maybe Kane probably doesn't make that move. Okay, I am kind of joking around a little bit. That is something that I would do if I were Kane. I'd be like, oh, yeah, by the way, all this stuff about how I was, you know, treated the right way, this and that, so classy. I never wanted to leave. And here's why. Another proof of why. So we'll see what comes out in the summer. We'll see.
All right. Well, this is actually a perfect segue into our next guest.
Oh, so, yeah. Another guy who probably wanted to be here.
On the other side, we are going to talk to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, good old number 16 in your hearts for the Chicago Blackhawks. He is the lead analyst for TNT Sports. He is the one and only Eddie Olczyk, and he'll join the Hockey Show next on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Show on ESPN 1000. We are sponsored by the Chicago Wolves. They're in action tonight and tomorrow afternoon at Allstate Arena against the Manitoba Moose. Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. It's our pleasure to welcome in the one and only Eddie Olczyk, and you'll be in town next week, and you'll celebrate with us at the 25th anniversary of ESPN 1000.
PB Chief, nice to be with you guys. And yes, I will be making an appearance. I will be back home, and not only a longtime listener, but first time caller, I guess, so to speak. And obviously being a part of the family at Bits and Pieces here, PB, for the last handful of years. So it'll be a great day. Great to see a lot of familiar faces. I'm sure a lot of stories as well. And as you know, PB, when you get a little bit older and you're telling those stories maybe a few years later, they just get a little bit longer because sometimes the mind doesn't catch up to the thought process and you can't spit it out. So,
well, that's why we blocked off 20 minutes for you.
Seeing everybody on Friday.
Well, there's going to be some good stories told next Friday, and we're looking forward to seeing you at that. Let's talk a little bit about the team that you've been around most of this season, the Kraken.
Yeah,
hanging right in there in the wild card spot. What has impressed you most about this team and what they've been able to do in such a short period of time?
Well, I mean, I think what has happened is that they've been able to go on, I think, 3-5-plus game winning streaks, including 1-7-game road trip on the road, which has been the first time in NHL history a team has ever gone on a heater and win 7 straight games on the road. And, they weren't exactly easy places to win in as well. I mean, they went into Edmonton, they went into Toronto, they went into Boston. They gave the Bruins their first loss in regulation all season long. And they've limited the damages the other way. They haven't had anything longer than a 3-game losing streak. So I think when you put those numbers together and look at everybody's the world that we're living in now is all about analytics and numbers and at least implementing in some fashion. I think when you just do the math there, you sit there and go, wow, well, when you can go on a long run like that and then you limit the damages when you aren't playing well, you're going to give yourself a chance. And I think the one thing that they've been able to do this year that they weren't able to do last year is that they could outscore their problems. Whether it was in goal, whether their specialty teams have, their penalty kill got off to a really tough start and hasn't been able to, get out of the bottom five pretty much all season long, but they've been able to really play well without the puck. So, that's really it in a nutshell, and they've given themselves a hell of a chance here to qualify for the playoffs in only their second year. And, obviously it's been pretty exciting to be around it and got a some gigantic games here going on, especially today where they host the Edmonton Oilers, where they have a game in hand. They're only a point behind them, and they're looking to move up the division in the Pacific.
Now, I haven't been sleeping. I was just telling PB this. So I end up watching a lot of your games, I think partially just because I miss your voice. I miss having you in town.
Thank you, Chief.
That building always feels like it's rocking. How does Climate Pledge Arena compare to some of the other buildings that you've called home over the years as a home ice advantage factor?
Yeah, I mean, look, I spent, a boatload of years in Pittsburgh, and obviously my whole life at the United Center, and, nothing will ever compare to the old barn, the old Chicago Stadium, but, like, the building here in Seattle, Chief, is, I don't want to say it's a throwback because, the roof is, you can look that up, and people that may not be familiar with it, of how they were able to restore it, and hold on to it and then build under it and put Climate Pledge Arena, so-called under it. But it does have a feel of an older building and with a lot of wood in the roof. And, it does have great acoustics and it is very loud. Like, it can really get going. Like, it's not a huge building. I mean, I think they're just north of 17,000 in full capacity. But it does, you're right, and hopefully TV does able to transfer that energy and the loudness, so to speak, of being here. And I think that's the one thing for the Kraken is that they seem, the numbers will say it, but it just seems, the optics will tell you, is that they just seem to play a little bit better on the road than they do at home. And, but it's a... it's a really, for it being a new building, it's pretty loud for sure.
Chicago legend Eddie Olczyk joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. So Patrick Kane now wearing New York Ranger blue here for the last few weeks. As a guy who is from Chicago, obviously connected to this franchise, and also connected to that franchise and part of a Stanley Cup there, what's it been like for you, knowing Patrick as well as you have, and see mm-hmm. him transition to Broadway here over the last few weeks?
Well, if you want to go back, PB, his last game as a Blackhawk, I know the game was broadcast locally on NBC Sports Chicago tonight, but I was also there doing the game nationally for TNT, and I had a chance to visit with Kaner that day in Dallas, and then, obviously he went to San Jose, and then, he left the team, and all of a sudden, things started picking up, and, he ends up going, he ends up going to the Rangers. So, in our conversations, obviously it's a huge range of emotion for sure. And then getting settled in there and then playing games and not having any practices, and then I had a chance to chat with him in Pittsburgh when I did the game this last Sunday for TNT and when the Rangers were in Pittsburgh. And, I think as the days have gone on and just conversation, and you're starting to feel his way. And, you look at some of the games that he's played and trying to find the so-called right combination for him. He looks like he's got some chemistry with Chris Kreider. Vinny Trocheck has been centering that line. I think initially when all the rumors and then eventually it happened, I think everybody's thought, especially at home, was, well, geez, he's just going to be able to rekindle what he had with the Breadman, and, the rest is going to be history. It doesn't matter who you put. It doesn't even matter if you have a center for those guys because they're going to do what they do, right? But my initial, thought was, like, I thought playing with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad was going, like, I just, for knowing Kaner and knowing, the body of work and stylistic, and then knowing those players and obviously knowing that team, I just thought that would be something that I think could really, maybe go to another level with all the depth that they have on the team. And they haven't gone to that. Like, they went to Kreider and Trocheck with Kaner the other day in Pittsburgh, but look at long-winded. Like, I was traded a few times in my career, and it always takes some time, especially when it's in the middle of the season. And, oh, by the way, it's a future Hockey Hall of Famer. And, with all, everything that goes with it, both on and off the ice, it's going to take some time. And he got some practice time, and I think that certainly helped. And, I think when he is moving around and he's not deferring, or he's not staying up and down the wall, when he's unpredictable, we all know in Chicago is what Kaner has been and what he will be moving forward. So, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's obviously it's the world we live in. I've always said, look, if Wayne Gretzky can be traded and moved around, then, you know, then any player in the National Hockey League can be moved. And again, look, this was Kaner's call for sure, and it put Kyle and the Hawks, you know, I mean, they knew the hand that was dealt. And it's tough enough to play five-card stud, but when you're playing five-card stud with, you know, with only three cards, meaning, you know, Kaner said, well, this is where I want to go, and you got to figure it out. You know, I think Kyle did a very good job when you look at, you know, this is where he wanted to go, and we got to make it work. So I'm happy for him. Look, if he's happy, then I'm good. And it's been nice to see him since the trade. And, you know, he's played some pretty salty hockey here the last little while. And for the Rangers, they're looking to get healthy, and they really feel is that they can, you know, that they can make a run. But Eastern Conference pretty deep, so it could go a lot of different ways here moving forward.
Yeah, I've loved watching him on the left side of that power play when he just kind of attacks downhill and just kind of lets one rip. It's been great. So I'm looking forward to playoff hockey, too. I'm looking forward to playoff hockey with Seattle as well. How much has Matty Beniers' development really pushed this team towards the playoffs? Because it feels like you talked about their ability to outscore their problems. He's a big part of that. And do you think that is a sign that things can get turned around here quickly?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it. I think, Chief, you know, with, in particular with Matty Beniers, I mean, he's only played 70, he's only played like 75 games in his NHL career. It's not like he's been around for a couple of years, but he does have that. He's got a lot of maturation. And look at, he has a lot of Jonathan Toews' mannerisms. On and off the ice, very understanding, very respectful, very aware of what's going on. But, you know, look, it takes time. It takes time for players to be able to feel comfortable and, you know, surrounding them with the right veterans. You can't have veterans that are on self-led agendas. And that's something I thought the Hawks did a brilliant job, in particular Marty LaPointe. I think at the time, PB, if you can correct me, I think Marty was the captain, was he not, when Johnny and Kaner were there very, very early? And, like, look, you can, like, you know, I look to that and go, like, you, that's such an important part of showing guys how to do it the right way. And then also having people be held accountable. And Marty LaPointe's one guy, I've said this publicly before, is that, like, that would have been one guy I would have loved to played with, probably because I hated playing against him because he's always looking to put me into the ninth row every time. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, it's important to have those guys. In Seattle, you have those veteran guys here, and, you know, the Eberlees and the Larsons and the Schwartz and those type of guys that Yanni Gourde can really help a young player like that. And I think when you do have young players, you got to isolate them and you got to, you know, help them. And look, at the Blackhawks were, you know, a perfect template for anybody that's building a franchise. And, you know, I know what's going on at home, and, you know, yeah, they're in rebuild mode, and, you know, hoping to turn this thing around sooner than later. You know, regardless, is that you got to have the guys at the center ice position, and then you got to make sure that when you do have young players that you think are going to be the foundation of your franchise, you got to surround them with really, really good veteran guys that aren't going to be envious, aren't going to be jealous, aren't going to have ulterior motives. Because, look, it's happened. I saw it firsthand when I was coaching in Pittsburgh, and when I saw what was going on with some young players that I had that were going to be the future of the National Hockey League, you know, I had to step in and go, okay, enough. Like, you know, you just can't have veteran guys that and quite frankly, in that situation, we're selfish, and you got to make sure that you're protecting those young players and having them to be around, because the coach can only do so many things. You got to make sure that those veteran guys in there are taking care of the young players, and for the Hawks moving forward in particular, you're going to need those guys that can come in and are already there to make sure you're helping the maturation process and development every day, not just when you think it's convenient.
Eddie Olczyk for another moment here on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. You mentioned the captain, Jonathan Toews. Edzo, he hasn't played for the Blackhawks since January 28th.
Yeah.
Announced that he's dealing with that chronic immune response syndrome. He's dealing with the long COVID. You know what he dealt with a couple years ago when he missed the entire season. Right. There's a report in the Herald saying that, you know, he's contemplating retirement. For a Chicagoan who was able to come back and play his last couple years here, I'm really hoping that Johnny gets at least another night at that United Center. I don't know if that's even going to be possible. But, you know, what do you think's going through his mind here as he's trying to listen to his body and yet probably still says to himself, I still have something to give, but I just don't know if the body's going to allow me to do it.
Yeah, PB. I mean, look, there's obviously a lot there. And I mean, first and foremost, any conversation that I've had with Johnny is like, look, you know, like, just want him to get healthy. You know, just want him to be, comfortable in his own skin and be able to just, you know, function and be and have some sort of normalcy, whatever that normalcy is for him or for any other individual that has gone through. Difficult times, whether people know or not. And but I want him to be able to just, you know, be at peace and to be healthy. And when it comes to illness I'm approaching and have been clean and cleared recently. I've hit my 5-year mile marker since
that's awesome.
Stopping my treatments with Phase 3 colon cancer, and I can't believe that it's been 5 years.
I can't believe it's been 5 years either, Ed. Oh man,
and I had incredible support, obviously from the Blackhawks and all my family and friends and my teammates and you know, in the broadcast world, and PBU at the front of that line, and there is something to being at peace and having a clear mind and a conscience and knowing that, you know, somehow I got lucky. I don't know how and why, but and there is something for being able to, you never move on from it. I mean, in my particular case of cancer, it's, you're always going to live with it. And it's always going to be there and dealing with survivor's guilt and all these other things that come along with it. But what I'm getting at is that, you know, is with Johnny, you know, obviously he's not healthy, and for him it's for him to get to a place, and that's what I'm hoping for. And look, if he can at some point get that opportunity to put on the best sweater in all professional sports again, and if that's in the cards, then, you know, that'll be his decision and obviously the team's. But I think where for me, because it is a personal level of PB and Chief, is you know, I just want what's right for Jonathan Toews. You know, the guy that I know. And yes, the Blackhawks and the National Hockey League player and everything, yeah, that's all a part of it. But, you know, to get him to a place where, you know, he feels comfortable and whatever decision he makes, then, like I said, about Kaner, you know, if he's good, I'm great. And I think that all Blackhawk fans, I think, would, knowing the fan base like I do, I think everybody would feel pretty much the same way. Yeah, I think selfishly we'd love to see him, you know, keep playing and feeling good, and obviously that would be a great thing. But until he can get to a place and lets everybody know where he is, then we just have to to wish him well. And if it is the perfect send off, then whatever that might be, then yeah, great. If not, then that's what we have to all live with.
Well, a lot of people miss you here in Chicago, Edzo. Thank you for doing this. Look forward to seeing you next Friday, and we'll be watching you with the Kraken and on TNT throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Always great to be with you guys. I miss the Blackhawks. I miss home. It'll always be home, but proud of everything, and will always be. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys next Friday, and looking forward to a few handshakes, a few hugs, and telling a few stories next week. It'll be a great celebration for everybody, ESPN 1000.
The one and only Eddie Olczyk. Thanks, Edzo. We're back to wrap up.
Thanks.
We're back to wrap up the hockey show after this.
The hockey. Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM at 1000. On the FM at 100.3 HD2. On your phone through the ESPN Chicago app.
The Hockey Show.
Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Back to wrap things up here on The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Barstool Chief Pat Boyle. Our thanks to our producer, Kendra Smith. Thank you to Eddie Olchek as well. A lot of things just keep unfolding with this season.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long season. It's been like one of the most painful seasons as a Blackhawks fan ever. So I'm really hoping that we can kind of close the book on this and have brighter days ahead, because it's been tough. My body is ready for the playoffs, so I'll say that. I'm ready for playoff hockey just to enjoy the sport. And so, looking forward to that.
And we'll dig into that as well as we talk about draft, lottery situation, and possible prospects for the Blackhawks. We'll get into the rest of the National Hockey League because it is the best postseason in professional sports.
It really is. You want to hit the similarity one more time?
Try it. What do you got?
Fourth.
Oh, son of a. All right, that's going to do it for The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We'll catch you next Saturday.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On the AM at 1000. On the FM at 100.3 HD2. On your phone through the ESPN Chicago app.